Merry Christmas, everyone. Your last night's Christmas Eve Mass looked like a usual crowd for the 9:15, and this looks more like the usual crowd for Saturday night. On Christmas, that works better. We had lots of children here last night, so works well for families especially, I think. So this Christmas, I'm grateful for so many things. You know, I woke up yesterday morning and this morning with just my heart filled pounding with great joy and great hope. And I couldn't wait to get together with all of you. And this is a time of year where we celebrate Christ coming into the world, but also into our hearts. I was thinking about these things as I was preparing for this day. And one of the things that came to mind, some of you know that I've built a tradition in recent years or so of going to offer Mass for the sisters who helped, and I say, to raise me when I was a little kid. Sister Jacqueline was my principal, Sister Ignatius, Sister Hedwig. Well, they ended up having, they have a house now across the street from the rectory at St. Maria Goretti Parish, and that I grew up in that neighborhood. And so now they're retired, obviously, and I go and offer Mass once a week for them, and it's just glorious. We always are fighting over who loves each other more, you know. I love you. I love you more. No, I love you more. But I'm just so privileged to be able to do that. And I always, you know, in my enthusiasm to get there, I usually leave here a little early. So I have a few minutes to kill. I want to make sure they're all ready for me. I don't want to come too early. And so what do? I drive through the neighborhoods, where I lived in the neighborhoods of St. Maria Goretti, and I just drive around and I reminisce of when I was a kid. You know, I went to St. Maria Goretti. I entered in third grade. At that time, they didn't have first and second or kindergarten, but I entered in third grade, and you know, just a beautiful, beautiful time. Actually, I think this was probably what I looked like when I entered St. Maria Goretti. See, now you know where the whole hipster movement started, right? I actually gave this picture to Sister Jacqueline and company, and I think they have it framed now. But anyway, so I always remember my mom, Ricky, put your glasses on, you know, because I didn't like wearing my glasses. Anyway, so just reminiscing, you know, we grew up, and I think it was just classically Americana, and we celebrated all the traditions, Catholic and cultural. My dad and mom, I think especially my dad, they were what I call memory makers, okay? And they just went full on into all the great traditions, and Catholic as well. But like dad, some of you have heard me mention, one year put up like a 12, 15 foot Santa snowman one year. And I always like showing the picture on the internet. Just all kinds of stuff like that. I was blessed as a child growing up. And we established friendships too. I had a lot of great pals I palled around with, but there was one that I would think I was especially close to. And we grew up together in St. Maria Goretti, then we went on to Edgewood together. And we challenged each other to be the best we could be in football. And both of us made All-State in our senior year. And we went on to college from there. And kind of parted ways during those years. It was just a few years ago that I got word, I was alerted, that this friend of mine had fallen and he broke his neck and he almost died. And I rushed to his side. I think, if I recall, he was at St. Mary's Hospital. And I hadn't seen him in years. And he was all braced up. It looked like he was going to make it. And we had a nice reunion and a nice talk together. And he was facing a lot of challenges in his life. He shared that with me. And he asked me, he said, you know, you made a choice to become a priest. What's that all about? And so I told him. I said, you know, first of all, I was 23 years old. It was my 23rd birthday. And on one day, I received the calling to the priesthood. That was June 24th, 1981. On June 23rd or before that, not so much, thinking too much about it, maybe a little, but not much. But it came on that my birthday, and I call it was like a fire that entered in. And I told him, you know, I think what I did in that moment is I just let go. And I let him all the way in. And it was all over after that. I fell in love like I'd never been before. We grew up in Catholic grade schools and high schools. We had strong Catholic families. But this seemed to be different in the sense that I wasn't just practicing a religion anymore. I was in a relationship like I've never experienced before. I love him so much, I told him. And so much that he's my king. I'm not my king. Other people in the world aren't my king. He's my king. And I want to serve him. I want him to be proud of me. And in that moment, such joy and such hope entered that I knew it was over, in the sense that I had to say yes. And so I told my parents. My recollection is it was that night that we contacted the vocation director. And here I am, going on 34 years after ordination, the 40th year since that one day calling on June 24th, 1981. And I said, it made all the difference in the world that I let him all the way in. He's my king. He's my friend, Jesus. God the Father is my dad. And I just want to love on them. And I hope and pray they love me too. And like I said, I hope they're proud of me. And I shared all that. I also packaged up like a Christmas present, a couple of things. I said, you know, here's some of my thoughts. I wrote them in a book here. So I want to give you that too. Read it at your leisure. And I told them too about my cool combat rosary. I gave them one of those in the Christmas-like packaging that I did. Well, we parted company that day. And when he was released from the hospital, he ended up moving to some far corner of the state. We didn't see each other. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking across my lawn here one day, and he's there. I don't know if he pulled out of his car and was starting to walk toward the house, but anyways, that's where we encountered each other. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, I had to come. I had to come and thank you. I didn't have that joy. I didn't have that hope. But I do now. Thank you. I said, you came all this way? He said, I had to come today. Today's the 1 year anniversary of when you came to see me. My eyes welled up like there right now. We gave each other a hug. What was lost is now found. I didn't ask him, but I was pretty sure he had been away from the church for decades. And now he knew what I was talking about. You never know when you're going to affect people in their lives. And I think all we can do is be honest and just love on them. But what I was describing that happened to me and now happened to him, if you recall this story of Jesus coming into the world, first of all, he came, he broke into this universe. It became that baby. You know, he came during a time where it was Caesar Augustus and the predecessor of Julius Caesar, and you know, they were powerful. They were calling each other gods. They felt they were so powerful and dictating to other people and sitting on their thrones and all this money and all this influence. And here comes a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's undermining that kind of leadership, that kind of kingship. They went to the inn. There wasn't any room. Go out back, there's a stable. Try that. What's that like? Jesus is always trying to break through. Like he did for me on June 24th, 1981. As he did for my friend. As he does for so many people. He wants to break through. He wants to live in our hearts. In the inn of our hearts. But all too often we say, there's no room. I got other priorities. I got other wants. I got other idols, frankly, in my life. They live there now. I tell you what, go back in the stable, and in case of emergency, I'll break glass. But I'm not letting you in to my inn. Do you see? It made all the difference in the world. And this baby comes in that childlike humility, not to lord over us, not to threaten punishment, but with open arms to say, come in. Let's live. Let's truly live. As if we've never lived before. We celebrate that this Christmas. This is a great time for us to ask ourselves, is he in my inn? Or is he in the backyard in the stable? Have we turned ourselves completely over him to him? Do we love him? Do we adore him? Do we want more than anything else to have every thought, every word, every action of our lives to be to please the one that we love so much? Have we let him all the way in? You know, I brag on you guys all the time. I do. I think I give you a big head, too. Because I think a lot of you are there where you've decided that he's my king. I'm not. No one else is. He is. He's the Lord of my life. He's the one that I want to please in all ways. And I want to use an image that's applies to our time right now. The Olympics are coming up in a few weeks. I look on you, I was thinking about that, and I look on you as like Christ's Olympic athletes. Truly, you're among the best of the best, but here's where I want to go with that. What do Olympic athletes do? They train to be champions. You're not just Christ's Olympic athletes. You're champions in training. St. Paul said, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. Run to win. That's what's in my heart, and I hope it is too. And I know it. This is what pleases God the most. That we're not settling to be on the team and just ride the bench. Run to win. That's why, too, and I'm going to close with this. My heart's pounding again because I'm looking forward to the 2022 ride we're going to take together. God's Olympic athletes in training, we are. So we're going to train up. I got some ideas. I'm going to bounce them off of everybody, and I'm really, really excited about this. We're going to work at getting as close as we can possibly be. God hears the voices of those who cling to him, it says in Psalm 91. We want to be clingers, right? Christ clingers. I just made that up. We want to be as close as we could possibly. What does that look like? How can we do that? How can we train to be the best Olympic athletes for Christ we can be? I'm looking forward to training up with all of you to be Christ's champions. One thing that's interesting about my friend breaking his neck and it changing his direction, that's what happened to me in college. I was going to be a Green Bay Packer. That was my direction in life. I broke my neck. It ended my football career. And here I am with you now, training to be Christ's champions. Let's do that at breakneck speed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.